Last week, I had a sore throat, so I didn't do the bit before the theme music. This week, I haven't got a sore throat, so I am doing the bit before the theme music. This is it. This is the bit before the theme music. Is it everything you dreamed it would be? Of course it is. Run the theme music!
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, it's just him, a trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people. You look fantastic. I don't know what you've done. I don't know if it's your diet. I don't know if you've been exercising. I don't know if you've just been lounging around eating chocolate. I don't know what you've been doing, but you look fantastic. So keep doing it. Better start with the interactive bit. Here it comes. How are you? You don't. What? Why not? But we always do the interactive bit. You don't want to do it at all. You really don't want to do it. Okay, fine. All right, no interactive bit. That's fine. Okay, cool. And scene. How was that? Apt? Probably. This is embarrassing. I recorded the whole episode yesterday evening. And then today, I sat down to start editing it. I'd recorded it through the microphone on the computer, not through my proper microphone. And it sounded echoey and awful. And I spent a little while sort of trying to fiddle around with it, seeing if I could maybe get it to sound half decent. No joy. It still sounded horrendous no matter what I did. So I've had to record the whole episode again. I'm not happy. I really am not. But I'm doing this for you. Here we go. So I want to get straight into it. I've had an email from Barry Grapefruit again, of course. And he says, I'll read it out. Dear Jack, your most recent episode was rubbish. Now you may remember that I've told you I've stopped listening to your podcast, and I have. So I'm just assuming your last episode was rubbish, going on the basis of all previous episodes. Yours, Barry Grapefruit. Well, that was nice, wasn't it, Barry? I don't know why I'm addressing him. Clearly he's not listening anymore, but he is giving me feedback. Let's move on. I've got another email from Benji Pearson. And this is actually a correction on something I said in the last episode. If you remember, I was talking about a version of A Christmas Carol, and I wasn't sure if matches had been invented in Scrooge's time. And then Benji got back to me about it. And this is what he said in his most recent email. I have to correct something you have said twice now. I never said that the little match girl was well before A Christmas Carol, just that matches were likely around during the time of A Christmas Carol. A Christmas Carol was first published on December the 19th, 1843. The Little Match Girl was first published in 1845. So it was actually 2 years later. So I made a fool of myself. And then he says, the first modern self-igniting match was introduced to the public in 1805. So they definitely had them at the time of A Christmas Carol. And then Benji finishes by saying, I wouldn't want the scores of other historians listening to the podcast to think ill of me. And I am sorry, Benji, you're right. I did put words into your mouth. I did say The Little Match Girl was before A Christmas Carol, and you never said that. So, yeah, I have made a complete imbecile of myself, which isn't the first time. And I tell you what, kids, it won't be the last time. Now, also, I don't know if you remember in the last episode, Kevin Church was talking about how he doesn't like it when people ask him what he wants for Christmas, and I sort of gave my opinions on it, which was, to be honest, not much of an opinion, really. It was pretty wishy-washy, I won't lie to you. But Benji's weighed in, and he says, as far as asking people what they want for Christmas, I agree that as an adult, it's really awkward to both tell someone what I want or ask someone what they want. My wife and I are pretty much to the point that if we want something, we buy it for ourselves and have the other wrap it. Can you believe that? He says we're pretty much to the point. He doesn't say they are at that point. I hope he's not at that point, because that's really bad. Because that's really just a waste of paper. You come home with something, like you bought yourself an Xbox, I don't know what you bought, bottle of rum. You come home with it, go, yeah, wrap that, I'm having it for Christmas, cheers. That's from you, by the way. I really hope that's not happening, Benji. But then he's put, we still do surprises, things we think the other would like, but didn't ask for. So it's not just buying your own stuff, which really is a cop-out. Then he finishes by saying, one thing my siblings have started doing is to call the sibling they are assigned to give to that year. There are 10 in Benji's family, so they have a rotation of who to give to each year. So, they call the sibling and have a chat asking about what their family is up to, their current likes and dislikes. So this ends up being a good way to get ideas, and it's also a nice way to have a lovely chat with a sibling. And it's worked out really well the last few years. There we go. So I like that, Benji. I think that's much better than buying your own presents and telling your wife to wrap it. Goodness. Right, let's get into the show with this.
Ask
Jack.
And
Jack. So after the success of last week, where a listener, I don't know if you remember, the listener sent an email asking for my advice. It was about guests that come and don't bring much to the table, but when they leave, take a lot from the table. I gave some fantastic advice about that, in my opinion. And because of my fantastic advice, I've received two questions this week. So let's start with the first one. This one comes, all they've put is J. This one comes from J, the letter J. No email address, nothing. They've put, I have a Jack Ask question. How do I tell a certain podcast he should make more episodes? It's great, but he only does a podcast every other week. That's the question. Well, here's the thing. I'm guessing it's a Christmas podcast that they're referring to, because this is Christmas advice that I dole out. I don't know which podcast they're talking about, but I will say this. Don't tell that certain podcast that he should make more episodes. Don't do it. I reckon whoever runs that podcast probably puts a lot of effort in to do the fortnightly episodes that they do. And he may well have two jobs that he's trying to hold down at the same time, plus two young girls that he's got to look after, and a wife that needs his attention. So he can't really spend all his time researching and recording podcasts and then editing them. So I'd recommend leaving him to do the best job he can, really. So yeah, I don't know which podcast you're talking about. I mean, if it's this podcast you're talking about, then tell me. And you know what? I'll do loads of episodes. I'll make it daily. The quality will take a massive dive and the episodes will be about 10 seconds long. But you know, that's, you get what you pay for, which is nothing. You don't pay anything for this podcast. Yeah, you do get what you pay for. Anyway, that was from Jay. I hope I've answered that question in a very poor manner. Now I've got a question from a gentleman called David. It says, my name is David from Florida in the USA, and I thought you could help me by telling my family to stop embarrassing ourselves every year. Let me first say, I love almost everything about Christmas. What I don't love is being forced to wear matching Christmas pajamas by my family. My wife and three daughters love to spend the $20 per person every year on them, so I wear them to make them happy, but I refuse to let anyone see me in public with them on. One year, we all walked next door to wish the neighbours a Merry Christmas, and I found myself apologising for the clown suit and making sure they knew that I was outnumbered. I will continue to follow their rules, but I look forward to some advice on a clever way to convince them that we look stupid. I know I'm right. Thank you and keep up the good work. Now, I needed a bit more info on this because I thought I had a solution. So I emailed him back saying, could you tell me the ages of your daughters? He replied, my daughter's ages are 20, 17 and 14 years old. Now, here's the thing. I thought they were going to be a lot younger. And the solution was just going to be, don't worry, David. As soon as they hit their teens, they're not going to want anything to do with this sort of thing. They'd rather sit in the corner wearing black and moping around. Clearly I was wrong, because two of them are in their teens, one of them's been through their teens, so that advice is useless. But clearly you're doing a good job if your girls are getting involved with the family like that. That's nice to see, so you're doing a good job there. So, how do we solve this problem? Now, one thing you mentioned stood out to me, and that is that it's $20 a pair of pyjamas. And that's quite a lot of money when there's five of you, that's $100. Right, so this is my first bit of advice, which I think is fantastic, right? Because you're buying a new set of pyjamas every year. I don't know if they're Christmas themed. I don't know if you're only wearing them at Christmas. If you're wearing them all year round, this advice ain't so great. But if you're just wearing them once, just wear the same set. And they'll be like, oh no, but because we need the photos. It's like, yeah, it's, you'll look a bit different. Or hold up a sign saying what year it is. But here's the thing, that's $100 on some pyjamas that might only be worn a couple of times, you could give to charity. Now, you are going to lose out on the $100, which is a good thing, giving it to charity. So you're not really losing out on the money. You've done a good thing. Well done, David. I'm very proud of you. So what you're doing is you're laying on a guilt trip. It's, why are we wasting this money that could go to people that need it this time of year? And there's loads of charities that are Christmas-based, particularly like Toys for Tots. That's ideal. You say, this money could go to children that need toys. And instead, we're wearing these clown-like pyjamas that make us look like imbeciles. So there's that. I think that's pretty good advice. I think that's worth a shot. Give it your best shot on that. Say, look, we can still wear the stuff from last year. It could be our yearly Christmas uniform. That might work. I can't promise anything. It might work. Okay. Second idea. This one, this helps you. It doesn't help them. Okay. So what you do, you get a red Sharpie. Okay. So it's like Christmas morning. You're like, oh, Christmas pajamas. Fantastic. I'll just go in the other room and put them on. What you do when you're in the other room, put red dots with the Sharpie all over your entire face and body, right? Then you come out with the pajamas on and they're like, what's going on with the dots? And you're like, what dots? And you look in the mirror, oh my goodness, I must have an allergic reaction to these pajamas. I better take them off right now. I'll go and wear my usual clothes. Sorted, problem sorted. They can dress how they want. You look fantastic in your own clothes. Only slight problem is, you know, all Christmas, you're gonna have red dots on your face because Sharpie's not the easiest thing to get out. You could use lipstick, actually, that would work. Lipstick or something like lipstick. You know, just put some red dots on you. Fake a rash. That's what, another idea. Okay, now my third idea, this one I think is possibly the best idea, okay? And this comes from my girls. So if things aren't going how they want them to go, what they do is throw something that's known as a tantrum. Okay, now a tantrum involves crying, rolling around on the floor, kicking your legs around, hammering the floor with your fists, screaming, sometimes wetting yourself, that sort of thing, right? So what you do is, they say, oh, we're going to do the pajamas this year. You throw a tantrum, right? And you roll around on the floor, scream. Occasionally you've got to pause and look up to see if they're like paying any attention and make sure, see if it's working. Then you carry on screaming. If it's not working, you carry on. If it is working, you can stop crying. And you spend a lot of time sniffing. And then hopefully they'll go, okay, Dad, we won't do it this year. Or if they say, we're still doing it, then you keep doing it, keep doing it. You might have to wet yourself. It's a bit extreme, but you might have to do that. So you've wet yourself, right? They're like, oh my goodness, this is embarrassing. Dad, go to your room, because that's what happens to the girls. If the tantrum's not worked, sometimes their tantrums do work, I won't lie. If the tantrum's not worked, it's like, right, go to your room. They go to their room. If you get sent to your room, that's fantastic. You get to spend a day on your own just watching TV. Fantastic. It's brilliant. You've won. I mean, come Christmas Day, you've got to throw another tantrum. I'm guessing the first tantrum is when you're discussing buying them. And then the second tantrum, Christmas Day, you get to spend more time in your room. Really, you want to be with the family. So, yeah. Still, spend a bit of time in your room and then you come out and they're like, put on your pajamas, like, no, tantrum again. Then eventually, you've got to win. So that is my advice. I stand by it. I'm pretty sure one of those three is guaranteed to work. If you just want me to give them a message, I could do that as well. This is the fourth bit, right? So this, I'll record it. This is me doing a message now to your daughters and your wife. And you can play this to them and maybe they'll see the error of their ways. Here we go. Hi girls, my name's Jack, you've never met me, I live in England and I run a podcast called the Total Christmas Podcast, and I received an email from your dad, David, or your husband, I'm talking to Mrs. David now, when I say your husband, where was I? Oh yes, and he really, really doesn't enjoy wearing the Christmas pyjamas. Now, I think you could spend that money on something far more worthwhile, like perhaps Toys for Tots or something similar. And you could still wear your pajamas from last year if you don't want to do that. Now, David works hard to put food on the table and to pay the mortgage and to raise you girls. And I think he's done a fantastic job. You're all three beautiful girls, a beautiful wife as well. He looks after you. He does his thing. But how about this Christmas? You give him the year off, not just him, maybe the whole family. Take the year off from the pajamas and maybe wear something else instead, like normal clothes, like normal people. So I hope you'll listen to my pleas and maybe, just maybe, David can enjoy Christmas this year. Thanks for your time. There we go, David. Play that to him. That should do the trick. I'm pretty sure. Do you think? Try it anyway. Try your luck, David. Do you know what? Worst comes to the worst. You got to wear crappy pajamas on Christmas Day. Worst things have happened, haven't they? There we go. So if you've got a question, a situation that you need sorting out, then just send it in and I will sort it out, just like I did for David. Let's move on. It's time for this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
That was my new jingle for this new segment, which actually is not me. This is coming from our listener, Bob Baker. I'm sure you remember Bob Baker. He's the mayor of Trout Valley, Illinois. He sent me an email a while ago with some video of his tiki bar that he built during lockdown. It looks fantastic. It's like a Christmas-themed tiki bar. And he's invited us all round for drinks. Whenever you want, just pop by. I'm not going to give you his address because you might actually take him up on it. But anytime you're passing, just pop in and the drinks are on him. He makes a mean rum and Dr. Pepper, apparently. So when I started this podcast, my original plan was to have input from the listeners more than I already have. Like, the idea was people just record stuff and send it in and I just add it to the podcast. Never really happened like that. It is pretty much me just shouting into a microphone with the very, very rare interview or people like sending in a clip. But Bob has actually got off his backside and he has recorded a brand new segment. It's called Do You Hear What I Hear? And what he's doing is he's translating English words into American English words. So I'm just going to let him do the talking. This is Bob. Here we go.
Hello, this is Bob Baker, bridging the cultural gap in this show's segment of Do You Hear What I Hear? I know in the movies, in uncertain times, a hero will often emerge. Well, what do we get on Total Christmas? A self-appointed barman. And I'm sorry, but just have another drink. It's my superpower. So these days call for us to recognize the inspiring words of St. Michael. We are the world. And in true barman fashion, I am here to improve communication, encourage fellowship, promote humanity, and of course, a little snogging as well. Using my linguistic skills, I want to translate some commonly misunderstood words that our English and American friends use at the holidays. Today's word is cracker. When an American bro uses that word, they mean that edible utensil we use to scoop up the dip motherlode, which usually is some sort of aerosol plastic cheese or a delightfully congealed mix of mayo, spinach, lard, and maybe some candle wax. You need to pile it high enough to either drop some onto the tablecloth or preferably spill it so it's an oily blob on your shirt. Now for the English bloke, I know that a cracker is a frilly decorated toilet paper roll containing an explosive. When it is ignited, it blasts out a miniature toy trinket for your dog to choke on. And a dad Christmas joke? And you find the missing toilet paper inside. It is colored, it's in the shape of a crown that you wear on your head. Maybe this is to get ready for that Queen's Christmas message. Right. So, cheers and happy Christmas.
So I think that's cleared that up, hasn't it? Thank you very much for that, Bob. I really do appreciate it. I do intend to do a section on crackers. I'm not quite sure when it's going to happen. Definitely not this episode. Possibly the next one. Maybe the one after that. But I do need to do it fairly soon while they're fresh in people's minds. David is going to be back again later in the show. I've got another segment with him. But one other thing I wanted to mention was that he mentioned a Christmas film and he asked me if I thought it was Christmassy. I don't know if you remember, but in his previous email, he mentioned the film Millions, which was by Danny Boyle. And I said I didn't really think it was a Christmas film. Never really gave me a Christmas feeling, even though it was set in the build-up to Christmas. The film he's asked about this time is about a boy starring Hugh Grant and Nicholas Hoult. That was the first time Nicholas Hoult sort of became famous. That's really how he got his big break. I guess you're familiar with him. He played Beast in the most recent X-Men films. Yeah, among other things, he's done loads of stuff. Now, the film is based on a book by Nick Hornby, and Hugh Grant's character, he gets his money, he doesn't work, he gets his money from the royalties of a song that his dad wrote, and I think it's the film, the song is called Santa's Super Sleigh or something, and his dad wrote that song, and because it's a Christmas song, it makes decent royalties every year, and Hugh Grant, that's how he earns his money. And I think that's pretty much the only thing that is Christmassy about the film. Thinking about it, I think it might end on Christmas Day, but that's like a scene sort of like 3 months down the line. It's like an almost like a epilogue type bit. Do you know what, I'm just saying no, that's what I'm getting to. No, I don't think it's a Christmas film, but if you think it is, Bob, then you carry on watching it and loving it. There we go, how's that? Something, wasn't it? Right, now let's do this.
Feigning joy and surprise, and the gifts we despise. It's craptacular.
So I received an email from Kevin Church a couple of weeks ago, and I talked about some of it last week, but there was so much in it, I had to save some for this week. I'm going to get to the worst Christmas present ever in a minute, but first off, I just want to mention something else that Kevin said in his email. He put, I'd like you to know I've been inspired to leave a couple of Christmas tokens out that I would normally have put away with the other decorations by now. There's a couple of jingly Christmas necklaces still hanging at the craft table, and I painted a few hangers with red and green plaid. We say tartan in the UK, don't know if you knew that. Maybe Bob Baker could do a segment on tartan and plaid. Probably not, it's not Christmassy. Well, actually it is a bit, isn't it? People do wear plaid or tartan at Christmas. Let's move on. Lily, his daughter, has a Santa soap dispenser she loves at bath time, and we've got a great copy of The Night Before Christmas in her story time rotation. And also, hanging above my desk is my new official Red Ryder Carbine Action 200 Shot Range Model Air Rifle, which is fantastic. Isn't that great? Anyway, then Kevin says, so over to you, what other ways, aside from the podcast of course, do you use to hold on to the holiday spirit all year long? Well, I won't lie to you, it pretty much is just the podcast, because I have Christmas the whole time. I record one night, then I have to spend a couple of evenings editing, and then I have to listen to the episode. I normally listen to it while I'm at work a couple of times over, just to make sure that I've ironed out all the kinks. I know there's still loads of kinks. I know my podcast is naff. Don't sit there going, "Pah, you don't bother with quality control." I sort of do, but the quality that I control to is a low standard. Stop giving me a hard time. But also, there's the research. So after I finish recording and the new episode goes up, I spend the next whole week and a bit researching. And that might be watching a version of A Christmas Carol, listening to old Christmas songs that I might talk about, studying A Christmas Carol and learning about what the words mean. So there's always something that I'm doing Christmas related around the house. So other than the podcast, we don't actually have many ornaments up. Although I have still got a picture that Eddie Honan sent to the girls above the fireplace, actually. Yeah, I've still got that. It's Mickey Mouse driving a truck with a Christmas tree on the back. Thanks again for that, Eddie. I love that picture. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Anyway, let's get on to Kevin's worst Christmas present ever. Here we go. This is what he's written. When I was rather young, maybe 5, I somehow acquired a few dollars to spend on Christmas gifts. Who knows how a 5-year-old gets $3 in 1990, but somehow I got my dad a jar of licorice all sorts. Yuck, but he liked them. As an aside, I love licorice all sorts. I really do. I'm guessing that's a British thing. They're pretty popular over here. Not massively. I can't remember the last time I saw someone eating one. Apart from me. I eat them occasionally, but I don't think I've ever seen any. Anyway, let's not go into licorice all sorts. It probably cost a dollar or less, leaving me $2 to buy gifts for my mum, brother and sister. No problem in 1990. I probably got my sister some slime from a vending machine, a pack of baseball cards for my brother and a candle for my mum. The worst present ever part is, when my dad came home from work that night, I asked him to help me wrap the presents I got for everyone, including his. Thing is, I can imagine that, being a little kid, because when you're a kid, it's so exciting buying presents for other people. You're so excited because you know you're doing something good for other people. And then the wrapping of as you get older, I still enjoy wrapping presents, but I don't love it like I did when I was a kid. When I was a kid, it was like such a major thing because this is something you're giving to someone. I can imagine his dad coming home from work and he's like beaming with joy, like, Dad, can you come and help me? Can you help me wrap this up? Kevin says, I remember being excited to ask him and sitting there happily as he just smiled and helped. He didn't bring any attention to my mistake. I clued in shortly after though. It's supposed to be a surprise, no peeking, etc. Maybe that's why I still remember it. I remember that worst present ever feeling on his behalf. There you go. That's funny. I love that. Yeah. Good work, Kevin. I think it's still great. I bet your dad still loved it. I'm sure your dad loved the present, but I bet he loved the fact that you wanted him to help you wrap him up as well. It's great being a dad. Yeah. Thanks for your story, Kevin. If you've got a worst Christmas present ever that you want to share with us, then share it. Don't keep it to yourself. That's selfish. Share it. It's Christmas. Right, now it's time for this.
I did something I shouldn't have, and these people called me on it.
You didn't.
That's pretty low, mister. If I had a rubber hose, I would beat you.
It's time now for a story of shame, and this one comes from Bob Baker again. I should have said this actually earlier when I had Bob Baker on. He sent me a lot of stuff in emails and I need to use it all up now because otherwise I'll forget, because I'm sure I've got emails from people that sent in really good stuff and I've forgotten about it. So I'm doing it all in this episode because I did some last time and now I'm doing the rest today because, like I said, I will forget. So Bob, I also should have said this. You know, he built that tiki bar I mentioned earlier. Yeah, he is the podcast's official barman. So if you've got any drinks orders, just send them on to him. This is Bob's story of shame. It says this. I would like to contribute to the story of shame section. When the kids were small and the relatives came over for the holidays, we would go pull pranks on our friends. We called it punking the Andersons. We would do funny things like steal neighbourhood inflatables and put them in their yard, throw large plastic candy canes way up in their trees so they'd have to hang there for months, or get bags of little rubber Santas and elves and throw hundreds of them at their windows when the Andersons were sleeping. Finally, my middle son Quinn decided to fill a paper bag and set it on fire on their doorstep. He doesn't say what he filled it with, but if it's what I think people fill the flaming paper bags with, then... And it says Quinn filled it. Not like they got a dog to... anyway. They finally begged us to please stop the holiday mischief. And it sounds like they did stop, which is a good thing. But that is a story of shame, to be honest. That you broke the Andersons down so much that they had to go up to you and go, please just stop it. Just stop it. We can't cope with this anymore. It's Christmas. And I like the fact that it says, when the kids were small and the relatives came over. So it's not just your family, or it's your extended family as well. It's like you're all ganging up on the Andersons, who have done nothing, I'm guessing. Nothing. And there's it. So I say, yes, that is a story of shame. For shame, Bob Baker. And now you're the mayor of Trout Valley. I wonder if you would have got elected if they'd known about your history of tormenting your neighbours. That's what it should be called, tormenting the Andersons, not punking the Andersons. And now you're the mayor. I hope you've changed your ways and the citizens of Trout Valley see you as something more than the kind of person that would torment your next door neighbours. But anyway, thanks for the story. I love the story. Well done, you know, thank you so much. Thanks for sending it in. If you've got a story of shame that you want to share, then send it in. I say it all the time, send in your stories. It saves me having to do research on other topics. So send in your stories. Now it's time for this. What the Dickens? So I got an email from our US correspondent, Scott Newman, who's the host of Tinsel Tunes and Jingle Jank. And there was a bit, I actually played this clip in the last episode, but I didn't talk about the bit that he wanted clarified. And Scott has put one line from the story, I'm not sure I get is, should be boiled in his own pudding. I'll play it for you now.
If I could work my will, said Scrooge indignantly, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. He should.
And then Scott says, I'm guessing this has to do with how a pudding is prepared, but I didn't know puddings were boiled, unless that's a generic term for cooking. I am hoping you can provide some context. Well, Scott, I can. So this actually goes back to the first thing that I covered in my What the Dickens segment. And if you remember, I talked about how they said the pudding was singing in the copper. And the copper is like this great big huge basin. Like, when I say great big huge, it's like bigger than a sink. It's like a really big, you could fit a person in it. And it's made of copper, and it would be kept out of the house, normally in like a, what was called a washroom, which was like an outhouse, and it would often be shared with your neighbours. Like, a few families would use the same copper, and you'd have a fire underneath the copper would be filled with water, and the fire would heat the water, and that's what you'd use to do your washing. Now, because a lot of people didn't have an oven back then, a lot of the cooking would just be done over an open fire. And if you did have a stove, it'd be very small. And this is Christmas Day, so you need all the space you can get. Often, people would use the copper for preparing food. And one of those things would be the Christmas pudding. Now, I'll go briefly into how Christmas pudding is made. You get all the ingredients together, so you've made like your big dough. You roll it into a nice big round ball, like a cannonball, and then you wrap it in cloth. And then tie it up. And now it's left for a while to ferment. And then you cook it. And the way you cook it is by boiling it. And what they would do is they would take this cannibal and put it in the copper, in the boiling copper, and let it cook. And I'm going to play you another clip from A Christmas Carol, and this is when they are getting the pudding out. Here it comes.
A great deal of steam. The pudding was out of the copper. A smell like a washing day. That was the cloth. A smell like an eating house and a pastry cook's next door to each other, with the laundresses next door to that. That was the pudding. In half a minute, Mrs. Cratchit entered, flushed, but smiling proudly, with the pudding like a speckled cannonball, so hard and firm, blazing in half a quartern of ignited brandy, and bedight with Christmas holly stuck into the top.
So where it says there, a smell like an eating house and a pastry cook's next door to each other with a laundress's next door to that. And that is because it was actually cooked where you do your laundry. So that's what it would smell like. When you got this cloth out of the boiling water, it is going to smell like a laundress's. Plus, when you open it, of course, then it's going to start smelling like a pastry cook's and an eating house. So yes, Scott, that is how you used to cook a Christmas pudding. Now, these days, you can cook it how you want. I've got a feeling my mum cooks ours in the oven, but you could steam it still. You can cook it in a pressure cooker type thing, or you can boil it still, or of course you can buy one from Tesco's and chuck it in a microwave. So those are your options. But back then, yep, that is how you'd cook a Christmas pudding. You would boil it. Yeah. So that is this episode's What the Dickens. Let's move on with this.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a
humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
This episode's version of A Christmas Carol is called Scrooge Loose, and it is an episode of Gumby. If you're not familiar with Gumby, and I'm sure most of my American listeners are, but elsewhere around the world, you might not be. I know in the UK, I've never seen, apart from one or two episodes that I've just watched this last week, I don't think I'd ever seen an episode of The Gumby Show. I don't think it really got any airplay in the UK. Gumby is a claymation character, so it's stop motion animation. It looks like he's made out of plasticine. He was created by Art Clokey, and Gumby's appearance, he's green. His wife came up with the idea that he should look like a gingerbread man, so he's sort of flat-ish. He's got a very interesting sloping haircut, which apparently was copied from a picture of Art Clokey's dad that he had of him, when his dad had a very interesting haircut. He's green because it was considered like racially neutral, and he's got very wide legs, and that's, it's sort of interesting because it looks like he's wearing flares the way his legs go out at the bottom, but apparently that was just so it's easier once they'd made the figure for it to stand up. Anyway, I'm not going to go massively into the history, but he first turned up in 1953 on the Howdy Doody show. It's like a short cartoon that they played during the show. And then he got his own show that lasted until the end of the 60s. And then he came back again in the mid to late 80s. And then in 1995, they made a feature film about Gumby. So, yeah, that's pretty much the history. That's all I'm going to go into. Most of the episodes, like the early days, they were very short, about sort of 6 or 7 minutes. And the episode I want to talk about is called Scrooge Loose. Now, I won't lie to you, kids. It's not a version of A Christmas Carol. It's not. There's no Marley. There's no Bob Cratchit. There's no Ghost of Christmas Past, Ghost of Christmas Present, or Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. There's none of that. All that we have is Scrooge. Don't hold that against me. I'm still going to talk about it, but it's not going to be a long segment, so I'm not going to waste too much of your time. So, it starts off, Gumby is dressed as Sherlock Holmes. And when I say dressed as Sherlock Holmes, he's wearing a deerstalker hat. That's pretty much it. And Pokey, who I should have mentioned, is his orange horse sidekick. He's got a bowler hat on because he's meant to be Dr. Watson. And Gumby's standing there looking for a telescope. And he's like, oh no, what's this? He's looking at a book. And the book is A Christmas Carol. And the book opens up and out comes Scrooge. And Scrooge is like hobbling around looking all moody and mean and that. And they're like, oh, we better go and catch him and put him back in his book. So they're looking for him, right? Scrooge starts wandering around. He's getting toys everywhere, all over these tables. And he hates toys. So what he does is he gets on a tractor, which has got like a snowplow bit at the front of it, and starts ploughing toys off the edge of the table. So they're like falling on the floor. Meanwhile, Gumby and Pokey have climbed to the top of this stack of toys and boxes, and they're looking for Scrooge, right? Scrooge comes along, ploughs their stack of toys and boxes off the table onto the floor, and Gumby and Pokey like land splat on the floor, and they are literally just two splats then at this point. Two splats with one's got a deerstalker hat on, one's got a bowler hat on. So Scrooge, who's still on his tractor, sees this book and it's stories of Santa Claus, and he's like, oh, he's the one who's to blame for this. I'm going to go and sort him out. So he goes and walks into the book. As he walks in, he sort of goes through the book, but his walking stick doesn't go through into the book, so it sort of falls on the floor. So he's gone into this book, and it's like the North Pole, and he's looking around and he sees Santa's sleigh, and he's like, oh, I've got an idea. And what he does is he takes one of Santa's sacks off the back of the sleigh and starts taking the presents out, right, unwrapping them, chucking the toy out, putting a rock back in there, and then wrapping them up. And he's like, oh, all the kids are going to get rocks and they're going to be really disappointed. He's doing this. Meanwhile, Gumby and Pokey, they sort themselves out again, back into their normal shapes, climb back up on the table, and they start looking, and they see Scrooge's walking stick, and they're like, ah, aha, he must have gone into that book. So the two of them walk into the book. They see Scrooge, he's there, still doing the old toys and rocks in boxes thing. So they like catch him and like tie him up, and then they put him in the sack that he was getting the toys out of and tie it up, right? And they're like, right, we better go and find Santa and tell him what's been going on. So they walk into Santa's house. Meanwhile, Santa, who wasn't in his house, comes walking back, right, walking past his reindeer. Now he's only got 6 reindeer. I don't know what the other two are up to. Maybe they're being lazy. Maybe they're ill. Maybe they died. Sometimes reindeers die, kids, but that's not covered in this story. Santa comes back, won't lie to you, he looks a bit naff. You know, like in the 70s, and a lot of you were never born in the 70s, or early 80s, you might see pictures of like a really bad Santa Claus who had like a beard that looked like it was just made from like cotton wool. That was it. And like a really cheapo suit. That's what this Santa looks like. He does look very, he's not chubby either, very tall. He's not 3 times the height of his reindeer, but he's got no belly, or his beard looks a bit ratty. Anyway, he comes along, he's like, oh, there's only 3 bags on my sleigh. Wonder where the other one is. He's like, oh, it's over there. He picks up the other bag. It's got Scrooge in it, hasn't it? Puts that on the back of his sleigh. He's like, right, better get off, deliver these presents. He gets on the sleigh, calls to his reindeer. He couldn't say all 8, because he ain't got 8 there. So he calls to the reindeer.
Away, Dancer, Vixen, Prancer, off to Hoofing, Comet, Dasher, Vixen, away!
And then he takes off. Gumby and Pokey are still in the house. They're like, well, he's not in air. Let's go and see if he's outside. They go outside and they see him flying off through the sky. And they're like, oh, well, there he goes. And he's got Scrooge in one of the sacks.
Well, let's get Scrooge back where he belongs. Hey, my bag and Scrooge are gone. Santa took them by mistake. Oh, no. Poor Santa.
Instead of Christmas, it's April Fool's Day for Santa.
You mean, it's December Dopey's Day for us.
And that's how it ends. And it's really interesting, because like, if this was a full-length cartoon, that would be like the starting point of the main story. Do you know what I mean? People would be like, oh, what's going to happen next? Scrooge is stuck in a sack, and now he's going to get let loose in someone's house. No, none of that. That's the end of it. That's the end of the cartoon. Now, generally, I didn't care for it, partly because, you know, I never grew up with it. It's very old. It shows its age. It's not very festive, really. I mean, they start playing some sort of Christmassy music when they go into Santa's book in the background. There's no like Christmas decorations or anything. And I tell you what, Pokey makes a joke that I don't think would get past the censors in this day and age for a kid's show. Have a listen to this.
Boy, it would take a writer with a name Dickens to make a character like Scrooge.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, if you want to watch it, it's on YouTube, so you can, you know. It's all right. If you're a Gumby fan, you might love it. While I'm here, I'll actually talk about another Christmas episode. Now, this came out only, like, I think, originally, the week before Scrooge Loose. And this one, I'll tell you what happens. I actually, easy enough, I'll just read out the blurb that I found online. Here, I've watched it, but it's easier for me to read it out. So here it comes. It's the holiday rush in the toy store, and Pokey's on the run from crazed parents who want to buy him and give him to their kids. He ducks into a book called Unusual Stories, where he arrives at the North Pole and meets a seal named Sybil. Now, I've got to say, when I first saw Sybil, I was looking at it thinking, I'm guessing that's meant to be a seal, but it looks a lot like a plesiosaurus. It really does. Because The front fins are as big as the back fins. It's got a very long neck for a seal, and it's got whiskers, so that sort of makes you think it's a seal, but it's blue as well. Seals be blue? Not really, more of a brownie black also. Anyway, Pokey discovers that Santa is sick and can't fulfill his duties. Fortunately, Pokey has connections, and he calls up his old friend Witty Witch. Pokey, Sybil, and Witty Witch fly off to deliver the toys using brooms to pull the sleigh because the reindeer won't cooperate with them. Two naughty children stay up to watch Santa arrive and are scared out of their wits when they see Witty Witch. So to avoid another incident like that, Pokey has Witty Witch wear a Santa mask to hide her gruesome face. And that's how it ends. So like, yeah, put this on, let's carry on delivering the presents, the end. Interesting one that one was, very interesting. I'll tell you what else was interesting about it, Gumby isn't in the episode at all. So if you want to watch that one, you can, can't you? I'll put the links on Facebook for you, for both of them. So if you want to, you know, fill your boots. If you don't want to, empty your boots. Leave your boots as they are. I don't know. Boots. So that is this episode's version of A Christmas Carol, which wasn't really a version of A Christmas Carol. Now it's time for this. Got another story from Bob Baker. I said he'd be back, and he is. Bob Baker, our self-appointed official podcast bartender and the mayor of Trout Valley, Illinois. So this is his story of how he found out the truth about Santa Claus. And he says, when I was a small boy, it was a December night and our furnace malfunctioned. It overheated and smoke poured out of it. My parents saw the smoke and called the fire department. It was freezing cold outside, so the kids and my mum all huddled near the door so we could run outside if we saw flames. I love that. I love that. They're like, it's too cold to go outside, so we'll just stay inside right by the door. If you see flames, peg it. Brilliant. Then it says, when the fire department rushed in, they took out all the Santa presents from inside the furnace room because this is where my parents had hid them. As this happened, all seven of us at the same time learned that there was no Santa. And then it says, maybe my older siblings already knew this. That's bad, isn't it? Imagine that. You're sitting there, scared for your life. The whole house could go up in flames at any second. And then what happens? The fire brigade go by with all these presents that are clearly going to be from Santa Claus. And it's like, oh, so our house is nearly burnt down and there's no Santa. Is there anything else you want to tell us? What a way to learn, eh? See, this is it, kids. This is what I love about this segment, is everyone's story is different. You know, for some people, it's just a gradual thing. For other people, it's a story like this, which I love. Actually, do you know what? Thinking about this, I want to tell you another one. This is just suddenly popped into my head. So my wife's nephew, he's about 18 now, but I think he was about 6 or 7 at the time. It's like he went up to his mum and goes, yeah, I know there's no Father Christmas. And she's like, "What? Why'd you say that?" He goes, I Googled it. So there you go, that was it, that's how we found out. It's like, I wonder if there really is, tap, nope, no Santa Claus, I'll go and tell mum. So that's it, you know, for kids, well, it's just a few taps away on their computer. Back in my day, the only way we could find out was by pestering our mother, going, there's no Santa, we know there's not. That's how I found out. I talked about that years ago, it might have even been the first episode. Anyway, this episode came from Bob Baker, and I want to say, again, a massive thank you for sending that through, Bob. If you're listening and you want to share your story with us, please, please do. I would love to hear it. Now it's time for this. This episode's recommendation is Grace and Frankie. The funny thing is, I've got a feeling I may have recommended this before, but I can't remember and I can't be bothered to go back through 56 episodes to find out if I did. So if you've never watched Grace and Frankie, it's a Netflix show starring Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin. And briefly, the story is this. They're two older women, and it turns out that their husbands have been having an affair for many, many years. And finally, the husbands decide that they're going to leave their wives, and they leave, and Grace and Frankie are sort of thrown together. And they're very different people. Grace is quite strict and more uptight, whereas Frankie is sort of more of a hippie type. And it's just a fantastic show. And now, I'll tell you how I got into it. When it first came out, I thought, Netflix is banging on about this. I'll give it a shot. Chucked it on. Didn't really care for it. After an episode, I thought, nah, won't watch that again. Then a couple of years later, because I do a lot of, early in the morning, especially on weekends, I do a lot of computer stuff, and I just sit there, and I've got the room to myself, and I thought, do you know what, I'll chuck on Grace and Frankie again. I'll give it another shot, see what I think of it. I got into it straight away the second time and I absolutely loved it. It's really cleverly written, really funny show. The acting's decent in it as well. It's got Martin Sheen in it. He plays one of their ex-husbands and a few other cameos that have been pretty cool. And what's great is, if you haven't watched it, I say give it a shot because there's loads of episodes. Up to episode, series 7 now. When I started really getting into it, I think it was on the 4th or 5th series. And I watched it all on my own. And then I told my wife she should like get into it. So she started binging it and absolutely loved it. And the reason I'm recommending it now is because it's finished. And today, the day that I'm recording this, we're going to be watching the last two episodes of the show. And I'm keen to find out how it ends. It's just a nice light show and I think you'll enjoy it. And if you don't enjoy it, well, you know, at least you gave it a shot. So that's this episode's recommendation. And that is it for this episode. I want to say a massive thank you to all the people that sent anything in that I talked about. You know, the people that sent in their questions, the people asking for advice. Scott, thank you for sending in the bit for the What's the Dickens segment. Of course, Bob Baker for all his input and Kevin Church as well. Thank you so much. If you want to get involved, I keep saying it, I've said it about a dozen times this episode. If you want to get involved, get involved. The email address is totalchristmas@gmail.com and the website is totalchristmaspodcast.com. That's the end of the episode. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love you because you're beautiful inside and out. Merry Christmas.
So Dad, plan out our whole day. First we'll make snow angels for 2 hours, and then we'll go ice skating, and then we'll eat a whole roll of Toll House cookie dough as fast as we can, and then, to finish, we'll snuggle.